Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. Sort of balmy weather early in the week, and then we got some drizzle, and then finally last night we got some snow, beautiful snow. Such relief to the older people of Lake Wobegon to see snow falling. We worry about these things. We worry about some environmental disaster that may happen for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and they will grow up on a windy northern desert, and instead of snow, there'll be dust blowing in the air. And they will never know the pleasures of sliding and the pleasures of skating. We worry about this. Oh, that day when the ice is frozen over, and you walk down to the ice and you strap on your skates and you head out hand in hand with another person and you skate out into the dark, out onto the ice. These two heavy-set earthlings who were never accused of gracefulness before, but on ice, on blades, they become ballet dancers, and you glide, you float, you fly out into the dark, hand in hand you go, out to the middle of the lake where you can start to hear the ice cracking around you, like guns going off. And even though you know it's safe and the ice is thick, you stand there a moment and you look around the Milky Way overhead and the lights of cabins and houses off in the distance on this great dark plain, and you turn, and now the wind is to your back, and you open your jacket, and it blows you in toward shore, you and she holding hands. This moment of splendor. You need some grandeur, some magnificence in your life. You can only eat so much of the bread of humility. You need passion and music and grace, and that's winter, gorgeous time. That's why Vern, that Republican from Iowa, came back up to Lake Wobegon this last week. Vern, who came up for Thanksgiving at his cousin Irene's house, and she introduced him to Mavis Peterson. Vern came up from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and he sat across the table from Mavis, and he was fascinated by her. He's a lifelong Missouri Synod Republican, and she is a Democrat. And though he winced when she said she couldn't think of a Republican she had ever voted for, ever in her life or ever been tempted to, nonetheless, he was fascinated by her. And when he heard, by way of the grapevine, that she had fallen on the sidewalk and bruised her hip and her shoulder, he got in his car and he drove up to Lake Wobegon to help her out, though she hadn't asked him to. And he came into the house, and before he knew it, he had run the water in her bath, and he was sitting in her bathroom. He'd taken his glasses off, but he was sitting there, and he fell in love with her shoulders and the curvature of her back. Irene was aware of what was going on. Irene, who thought he had not come so much to help her as to take advantage of a wounded woman, nonetheless, she was keeping close track of him all week. She was watching, driving by Art's night arrest motel to make sure that his car was still parked out there at midnight and 1 o'clock in the morning. And that particular evening, she didn't see it there. She drove over to Mavis's house, and she walked in, and the bathroom door was locked. Irene pounded on the door. She said, "Mavis, what are you doing in there locking the door? What if you slipped and fell?" And Mavis said, "I'm not going to fall. I'm sitting in the tub." Irene said, "You're not alone, are you? There's someone there with you, and I know who it is." "Mavis Peterson, I just can't imagine you ever doing this." Mavis, who was divorced 3 years ago, Vern, his wife died 7 years ago, two people in their early, mid-70s, discovered in a locked bathroom. Vern unlocked the door. He came out. Irene said, "What are you doing in there? What are you doing in there?" He said, "We're getting to know each other better." She said, "There are other ways to do that. Why don't you start out down at the church?" Mavis piped up. She said, "We are islands in the sea of life, and seldom do our peripheries touch." Whatever that might mean. "I'm watching both of you," said Irene. "You're grown-ups, you can live your own lives. But I tell you this, Vern, if you break this woman's heart, I will find you wherever you are, and I will rip your heart out of your chest." So that's the news of Lake Wobegon. Little romance. Interesting courtship. They sat in the Chatterbox Cafe, and he tried to explain to her the reason for cutting taxes, how it stimulates the economy. She said, "That's the biggest load of horse hockey I've ever heard." It was a good week. It's the time for Pastor Liz to go off and pay her calls on the elderly and the shut-ins, which is hard work. She went out to visit each one in turn. She used to take poinsettia plants, but last year, old Lady Anderson tried to kill herself by eating a poinsettia plant. And it didn't kill her, but nonetheless, now Pastor Liz has been taking wreaths out instead. She makes her visit, and it's hard work because these people have been cooped up for months, and they've been waiting, looking forward to someone coming to see them. They have so much to tell her, and so much of it is so boring, so depressing. She goes out to see Alex sitting there in the farm. Furnace won't work anymore. His son-in-law is tired of trying to fix it. He sits there in his long red underwear and a blanket wrapped around him, and he says, "I have no reason to be here." He said, "Life has lost its meaning since I lost Alice." They sat. She held his hand. She prayed. She went on to visit Virginia. Virginia sitting there with a tube in her arm, and her forearm is all discolored. She's been sick for a long, long time. She was talking about skating and about playing Rover Red Rover and Run Sheep Run. And it seemed to Pastor Liz that she was actually in that moment now, and she was 10 years old, and she was no longer in this century, but she was back in the late 1930s, and she was with somebody named Billy, and she was wondering why he wouldn't come over and hold her hand. It was a touching moment, and then she moved on, and she moved on to Norman and Naomi, who were there in their house, filled with souvenirs and bric-a-brac and Norwegian nonsense about lutefisk and lefse and Ole and Lena and all of these jokey plaques. They must have been humorous people at one time, but no more. They had a long argument whether they should have fish for supper or Salisbury steak, and Pastor Liz sat there and endured it for half an hour. And then she went on to Mavis Peterson, who was her next call. Mavis, who was saying, "I don't think I'm going to plant my tulip bulbs this winter. I'm just not sure I'm going to be around in the spring to enjoy them." "Oh," Liz said, "you're not that old. You're only 7. "No, I don't mean that," she said. I mean, "I may sell my house and move away." "Well, where would you go, Mavis?" "Well, wherever the two of us want to go." "I don't know. We haven't talked about it. I hope that we will." "I've been alone now for 3 years, and before that I was married to a man who didn't talk. So I'm tired of being my only company. I'm ready for something else. Yes, he's a Republican. So it doesn't mean that much to me anymore. I worried more about right and wrong when I was your age. I don't anymore. Now, the way I see it, if I smile when I think of him, that's good enough for me. I'm ready to go. Well, Pastor Liz said, I've heard a little bit about that. I wish you well. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And if we get married, we'll be sure to do it with you, whether or not in the church, and whether anybody else wants to come. So the Christmas lights are up all over. They go on after dinner, those beautiful white snowflake decorations on the streetlights in Lake Wobegon. And people are in a festive mood. The smell of potato sausage, which was the special this week at the Chatterbox Cafe, potato sausage and fried potatoes and green beans and Black Forest cream cheese cherry chocolate for dessert. The smell of potato sausage. Many people have moved away from Lake Wobegon, and something was missing in their lives. They didn't know what it was. They had perfectly good lives in New York or Chicago or San Francisco or wherever they went. There was something missing, and they didn't know what it was. And then they came back to town before Christmas, and they smelled potato sausage, and they realized that's what it was. What difference would it make in your life? I can't tell you that. You have to figure that out for yourselves. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.